Blog Talk Radio.
He met this young man that was in his mid-20s who had an understanding of God that blew Wild Bill away. A lot of time has passed, but Bill never forgot this young man giving a testimony of how he was going blind and then singing the song that he wrote. To say that the situation that God knows what is best for him, well, what can we add to that? Brother Smart went home to be with the Lord a few days ago, But the impact of the song and Brother Smart was one of those landmarks in Bill's life that has never lost its meaning in his life. As we go to this message, I pray that you will listen with an open heart, because God desires to have the same relationship with you as he had with Brother Smart. At the end of the sermon, there is some instruction that we can all take to heart. No matter who you are, what you've done, or where you are, it will not matter if you are listening live or in the archives of the show. The power of God and what he wants to do in our life is not limited. There are five key points that will be shared, and we ask that you apply them to your situation. As always, we will open up the microphones at the end of the show for comments or questions. And now, let's hear this message.
Come on, everybody, let's magnify the Lord together. Would you give him the greatest shout of praise you've given all night long? I think you can even do better than that. Give him the greatest shout of praise you've given all night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Grab the hand of the person beside you. I do believe that God is going to do great things in this service tonight. We saw great things last night. 11 new people filled with the Holy Ghost. I think they said 17 that claimed a healing last night. That's a drop in the bucket to what God wants to do in this place tonight. What God wants to do here tonight is absolutely miraculous. I want you to take the hand of the person beside you. The Bible said, if two or three agree touching any one thing, it shall. Not might, not maybe, not could be, chance of, right circumstances. It shall be done. Grab somebody's hand and start praying that way. Father, let your will be done in this place tonight. Above everything else, beside everything else, before everything else. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let your will be done. 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 Do you feel it in this place? In the name of Jesus. It feels like God's about to allow something to explode in this house. In the name of Jesus, blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated just for a moment. I want to recognize two great men of God. There are so many great people here with us, but two very special folks that are here tonight. Brother Boontin, would you ask our guests from Thailand to stand up? This is two pastors. Now listen, I preached to you last night about Kampang Phet, Thailand, and I said, I know none of you know where that's at. There's nobody here from Kampang Phet. And I walked in tonight, and the district superintendent of that province and one of the pastors of that province is here in service with us from Kampang Phet, Thailand. Glad to have them here with us tonight. God bless you. These men of God have seen things like you and I hear preached about, but we haven't yet seen in America. These men don't live like you live. They don't drive what you drive. They don't have the luxury that you have, but they have seen things in the Holy Ghost that I'm hungry for. In the province where they pastor, we have had more than 20,000 people over the years filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that one province. We rented a football field in that province, decided we would have a crusade, and that was quite a step of faith. Billy Graham had been there, and 1,000 people come out to hear Billy Graham. Benny Hinn went there, and 1,000 people, Brother David, went out to hear Benny Hinn. We rented a football field, and we rented 5,000 chairs. And when we pulled onto that football field in this man's province at church time, all 5,000 chairs were filled and another 1,000 or so standing around looking. Are you ready for this? In that one single crusade service, God filled 1,500 Buddhists with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we baptized over 1,000 of them in the river in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin. Are you ready for this? We didn't tell them to do it. Maybe one of these men actually are responsible. But when we got to the crusade and went up on the platform, Pastor Zuniga, they had put all the crippled people in the front. Not only did I not ask them, if they had asked me, I'd have said no. But they put all the crippled people, right, brethren? All the crippled people in the front. About 150 people that were in wheelchairs and on walkers and brought in on stretchers, and people carried them, and they were laid on the grass, about 150 of them, and with nobody laying their hand on nobody, with nobody saying nothing, in the middle of the message, I'm talking about in the middle of the message, all 150 cripples stood up at the same time. That's where these men are from, right here. Ha! One little lady, these men probably know her name, but one little lady was carried in there. She looked like olive oil on Popeye. It looked like she had no bones in her legs. Her husband, she's probably 22, he's probably 25. He carried her in there. Her legs draped over his arm like two wet noodles. It was as if there were no bones, as if there were no knees in her legs. Brother Boone Ten, it looked like you could tie her legs in a knot. And when prayer was prayed for her that night, I didn't pray for her, a bunch of our ladies was praying for her. When they prayed the prayer of faith for her that night, I heard a roar go up, and I turned around and watched that husband set his wife down on the ground, and she stood on her feet for the first time in her lifetime, and her legs looked like noodles you could tie in a knot. That's where these men are from, right here. That's the kind of revival I want to see in Nashville. And I believe God's going to honor your 10 days of faith and 18 churches coming together and saints of God praying and joining faith to faith. I've come to tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the anointing in this place right now. God's got something in store for this area. The Holy Ghost is about to explode in Nashville. Somebody shout yes. My. You may be seated. I've been reading Dr. William M. Boast's book entitled Masters of Change. He states in his very well-written and on-point book that every generation has had its change agents, men and women who have greatly affected change in their generation. He said men and women that have affected the culture, affected philosophy, affected traditions, and affected fundamentals. They are agents of change. And he talks about them throughout the ages. I want to borrow from him tonight and preach to you from the subject, the master of change. The master of change. In the book of John, chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus," you can stay seated, "the mother of Jesus was there." I'm going to read a lot tonight. Verse 2, "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now there's a message all by itself. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Verse 6, "And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews." Say that with me. "After the manner of the purifying of the Jews." Say it out loud. "After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was." Now in brackets right after that, it says, "But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now it's in this text that we find the record of the first miracle performed during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. This miracle is performed at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. It was the miracle of changing water into wine. Everybody said change. It was the miracle of changing water into wine. And his first miracle, this miracle of change, would be typical of his entire earthly ministry. In fact, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ could easily be characterized as a ministry of change. You see, everyone and everything that he ever came in contact with was changed. No, that wasn't the right response. I said everyone and everything that he ever came in contact with was changed. He never left anyone or anything like he found them. During his earthly ministry, he touched and transformed countless lives. There are 37 miracles recorded in the four Gospels. But at the end of John, John says there's just not enough paper to write all the good things that he did and all the people that he touched. It's just not possible to record it all. But we do know that he cleansed 10 lepers and restored them to their family. We do know that he healed a centurion soldier, a servant. We know that he healed a man's withered hand. He raised the widow of Nain's son back from the dead. He healed a woman with an issue of blood. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He healed the deaf and the dumb. And he healed a blind man at Bethsaida. He raised Lazarus back from the dead again. And he restored the sight of Bartimaeus. I'm going to say it again. He never left anybody or anything like he found it. He was the master of change. Now, if you've walked into this beautiful place tonight and you're in need of a miracle in your life, it doesn't matter if it's physical, it doesn't matter if it's spiritual, mental, financial, marital, whatever it is, I've got good news for you. The Bible said Jesus Christ, the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Did you hear what I said? He's the same. Yesterday and today and forever. That means that anything that He's ever done at any time, He can do it today. It means anything He's ever done for anybody, He can do it for you. That means anything He's ever done anywhere, He can do it here in Nashville, because He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Clap your hands, everybody, and shout, yes! In this second chapter of John's Gospel, both Jesus and His disciples are in attendance at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And when Mary, the mother of Jesus, found that her host had run out of wine, the Bible said she went to Jesus. I want to take a moment and with you examine Mary's simple faith approach to Jesus. First of all, I want to point out to you that Mary approached Him expecting to receive a miracle. Somebody holler expecting. No, say it again, expecting. There's a difference in expecting in any other dimension of faith, because when you get into the dimension of expectation, you're no longer hoping, you're no longer wishing, you're no longer thinking, you're not even any longer praying. When you move into the dimension of expectation, you know that you know. When you're in the dimension of expectation, you've already settled it. I know God heard my prayer, and I know God can do something about this. She approached Him expecting to receive a miracle. Second of all, she told Him exactly what the problem was. They have no wine. Let me quit preaching and give a 1 minute Bible study. One of the reasons our prayers are not answered, Jesus said, He said, when you pray, you have to ask God specifically what you want. Speak to the mountain. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You didn't know it was that simple, did you? Oh, He's God. He knows. I know He knows. But He still wants you and me to ask. And He wants us to ask in faith. Mary told Him exactly what the problem was. You have not because you ask not. And then He said, then when you do ask, you ask amiss. That word amiss means improper. Your petition's not correct. You're asking in generalities. She went to Jesus and told Him exactly what the problem was. And then number three in her simple faith approach to Jesus was she left the problem with Him. Now hold on. Hold on. I've got to be honest with you. There is no harder, no more difficult step of faith you'll ever take than leaving your problem with Him and walking away. Lord, here it is. This is what's wrong with me. This is my baby. This is my spouse. This is my finances. This is what's going on in my mind. And God, I got faith in You, so I'm going to leave it right here with You. And then I'm walking off. You'll never do anything more difficult in your lifetime. But the third step of her simple faith approach to Jesus was she left the problem with Him. Several years ago, it was my privilege to preach at the General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church on a Sunday night in the New Orleans Superdome. Now, I think, or at least I thought, they were trying to punish me because I was the third of three speakers. W.E. Gamblin was first, T.F. Tenney was second, and me at about 25 years old was third. I thought, what did I do wrong? I got up there, I was so scared. I can't tell you how scared. I've heard people talk about knees knocking. I never even thought that was actually possible. I'm telling you, when I stood there, my knees were knocking. I couldn't see my notes. I couldn't do nothing. And finally, I didn't even try. I just shut my Bible and shut my notes. I grabbed the microphone and started walking back and forth and talking about the power of God and what God can do and how God can heal and what God's going to do in this place tonight. I wasn't just preaching to them. I was trying to build up my own faith. We had a service that night that'll go down in the history books. Brother Urshan was general superintendent then, and he and Brother Becton, our assistant general superintendent, Pastor Ron Becton's father, one of the most beloved men in our fellowship, they publicly estimated that more than 2,000 people were instantly healed by the power of God in that one service. People got up out of wheelchairs. Blind eyes were opened. It was a powerful demonstration. In that service, a man brought his little girl up on the platform, had her in his arms. People being healed all over the place. But this man walks up on the platform. Man, his wife, and a little girl look to me like she's 5, 6 years old, little blonde-headed girl. But she is severely crippled, severely crippled. Her little hips are turned at about a 45-degree angle from the rest of her body. One leg is 6 inches shorter than the other. And the foot on the end of that short leg was a club foot. It was smaller, and it was twisted sideways from her leg. She was severely crippled. We prayed for her. Now, it was me and Billy Cole and N.A. Urshan and C.M. Becton. It was all of us that were on the platform. We laid hands on her, and we prayed the prayer of faith for her. I wish I could tell you that I heard bones pop. I wish I could tell you I saw a leg lengthen. I wish I could tell you I saw her little hips straighten out. I wish I could tell you I saw that club foot come straight. But the truth is, I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear anything. They walked off the same way they walked on the platform. About 30 days after that conference in New Orleans, I got a phone call in my office, and it was the father of the little girl, and he said, tell Brother Cunningham that the little girl he prayed for that was severely crippled in New Orleans at the Superdome, tell him that God is touching my daughter and to keep on praying. That was about 30 days after the general conference. I preached the Louisiana camp meeting the next summer in July, so we're talking about 9 months later. I got done preaching one night. I walked down into the area, altar area below, and a man come up to me, shook my hand, and said, do you remember me? I said, no, sir, I'm sorry I don't. I meet so many people. Tell me who you are. He said, I'm the father of the little crippled girl you prayed for in New Orleans back at General Conference. I said, oh, yeah, I got your call that God's touching your girl. I said, how is she? And when I said that, he turned and he called her name, and that little blonde-headed girl run down the aisle, run across the front, and wrapped her arms around her daddy's legs, absolutely, perfectly normal. Normal in every way. You better get ready. It's going to happen here tonight. You may be seated. I said to him, tell me what happened. He said, Brother Cunningham, we were going home that night from the Superdome. We drove in and out for the services, and he said, as we're driving home, the little baby's asleep. My wife is holding her in her arms in the front seat, in the passenger seat. I'm driving. And he said, my wife is weeping profusely. Her shoulders are heaving. Tears are pouring down her face. And he said, I'm thinking to myself, my wife's losing her faith. My wife is getting depressed. My wife is, she's feeling bad because God didn't heal our baby. And he said, finally, I laid my hand on her shoulder, and I said, honey, don't lose your faith in God. He said, my wife looked at me and said, I'm not crying because I lost my faith in God. She said, when those men of God laid their hands on our baby tonight, she said, the Spirit of the living God spoke in my ear and said, your baby is healed. And that mother said, I haven't seen it. I don't see any legs changing. I don't see any hips moving. I don't see any foot straightening up. But she said, I'm telling you, my baby is healed. I want to present to you tonight that the reason that baby was healed is not because Jack Cunningham or N.A. Urshan or C.M. Becton or Billy Cole laid their hands on that baby, but there was a mama that said, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't felt it yet. There's no signs of it yet, but I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to put it in his hands, and I'm going to leave it right there. It's the greatest step of faith that you'll ever take in your lifetime. Somebody shout yes. I've come to Nashville tonight to tell you that faith moves God. In fact, nothing else moves God like faith does. Some of the greatest preachers that have ever put shoe leather in the dust have stood right where I'm standing on this pulpit and have astounded us with their polemic ability. But can I tell you, there's never been a sermon written and there's never been a sermon delivered that moves God like the faith of one little saint of God can move him. Some of the greatest music and singers that you'll ever hear in your life, we're hearing this week. But there's never been a song written, and there's never been a song sung that moves God like your faith moves God. God is moved by your faith. Somebody shout yes. You say, Brother Cunningham, my faith isn't what it ought to be. The Bible commands us to grow in faith. The Bible tells us that it's all right to ask God to increase our faith. One father said to him, Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. It's all right for you to say, God, move me up a little higher in the dimension of faith. There's 7 levels of faith in your Bible. Did you know that? Jesus turned to the disciples on one occasion and said, how is it that you have no faith? Everybody said, no faith. To the same 12 on another occasion, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Everybody say, little faith. And then in Romans, Paul said, God has given to every man a measure of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gift of faith, that special unction that God gives us in the midst of a special circumstance. And then the Bible talks about Abraham, and the scripture said he was strong in faith. And then there's the centurion soldier that had a servant that was sick, and Jesus said, come on, let's go to your house and I'll heal your servant. And the centurion broke loose from him and said, no, I'm not worthy that you come into my house. Now you better get what I'm about to say, because it's going to help you get a miracle tonight. That centurion said, I'm a man of authority just like you are. Faith without authority is worthless. I'm a man of authority like you are. I tell some come here and others to go there, and they do exactly what I said. And this is what the centurion said to Jesus. I know who you are. I know the power that you possess. I know who I'm in the presence of. And if you'll just say it, all you got to do is say it. Because if you say it, it's going to happen. And Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith. Some have no faith, some have a little faith, some have a measure of faith, some operate in the gift of faith, some like Abraham are strong in faith, some like the centurion have great faith. And then the Bible said, in Stephen being full of faith. I don't know what rung of the ladder you're on. No, little, measure, gift, strong, great, full. I do know this, that no matter what rung of the ladder you're on, hear me when I tell you in the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of the living God that's in this house right now is lifting this whole audience into a higher dimension. We're going to the next rung on the ladder right now. What you may have come in here with a little faith, God's moving you into a measure of faith. You may have been walking around in a measure of faith, and God said, I'm going to move him into strong faith. You maybe had strong faith, and God said, I'm going to let this old boy have great faith. I believe with all of my heart that God's moving among us in a supernatural dimension right now. I believe God's working on you and me. He's working on every man, every woman in this place. And whatever it is you need from God, hear me when I tell you that if you'll just somehow plug in to the faith that's in this house, you're going to leave here with a miracle tonight. Somebody said yes. You may be seated. My father, now y'all know my mom and my uncle Bill, Billy Cole. Y'all know that side of the family. You don't know the Cunningham side of the family. My father was a hopeless alcoholic before he came to God. My dad drove a beer truck, Pastor Zuniga, for a living. And he didn't hardly ever get paid because he had drank up most of his paycheck every week. First time my dad came to church, he came through the center double swinging doors in the center of the sanctuary. He opened both doors at the same time, and he was sloppy drunk, and announced to the whole church, "I'm here." An elder, quickly realizing what was going on, went and got a hold of my dad and said, "Come sit with me." They sat on the center aisle, right about halfway back on the center aisle. My dad did like any old drunk would do. One minute he's laughing, next minute he's just slobbering and crying. He's just weeping and wailing out loud. He heckled the preacher. The preacher would say something. My dad drunk would say, "That's right, preacher." He just about disrupted the whole service. My dad died at age 74 about 10, 12 years ago. If I've heard him give the testimony once, I heard it 500 times in my lifetime. My dad said, "I was so drunk, I had been drunk for weeks, weeks and weeks and weeks without getting sober." And he said, "When the altar call was given, I got up out of the seat and I walked down to the altar, and like any old drunk, I was snotting and slobbering and weeping and wailing and crying." And my dad's testimony to the day he died, he said, "When that preacher walked up and reached over the altar rail and put his hand on my head, my dad said, I went from drunk to sober in 1 minute." He was about 34, 35, 36 years old when that happened. And until he died at age 74, my father never took another drop of alcohol in his life. The greatest dad, greatest husband any family could ever want. Our society tries to change people. I have no criticism of their efforts. We open our church up for Alcoholics Anonymous and ACTS and other programs that are geared to helping people that are bound by habits like my father, or drugs, or other addictions and areas where their life is out of control. And again, I have no criticism for talking to somebody and being in group and peer pressure, positive peer pressure, and all the elements that make these different programs somewhat effective. I was listening to late night radio and I heard the CEO of Alcoholics Anonymous being interviewed. It was the 100th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous working here in America. 100 years. And the CEO said, "I'm very happy to report that we've had a 6% success rate." Flip that coin over, he's admitting we've had 94% failure rate. 94 out of 100 we work with, we've not been able to help. Now, I thank God for the 6%. No criticism. We've let Alcoholics Anonymous groups meet in our church, and we still do. It's amazing. If you've ever been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there's no way in an audience like this, there isn't several of you. If you've ever been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you know there's a point in that meeting where they want everybody to talk. They want you to do what we would call in the church a testimony service. They want you to get up and talk about your addiction. Now, when you talk, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how many talk, when you stand up, the first words out of your mouth have to be, "Hello, my name is Jack Cunningham. I'm an alcoholic, and I'll always be an alcoholic." And after you've made that opening statement, you can go on and say whatever you want to say about your addiction and your success and whatever. But you have to start out, "I'm an alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic." I got news for you tonight. My daddy never stood up in church and testified once in his life, "Hello, my name's Brother Cunningham. I'm an alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic." No, my old daddy said, "I met the master of change. I went to an old-fashioned altar. I repented of my sins. The man of God laid his hand on my head. I went from drunk to sober, and I've never touched another drop of liquor in my life. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed. Somebody shout yes. I want you to know that it's still true of our Lord today. Everyone and everything that He comes in contact with is changed. It was Mary's simple faith approach that literally thrust Jesus into His earthly ministry. She went to Him, verse 3, they have no wine. Verse 4, I want to point out to you, Carlin, come up here and let me pick on you for a minute. You be Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's way too pretty for David, don't you think? You got lucky, buddy. I said, you got lucky. Better pray she keeps you. Mary goes to Jesus, and Mary says, they have no wine. Jesus says to her, woman, that'd be enough to get me slapped by my wife right there. Any men here know what I'm talking about? Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. What have I to do with thee? It's not my problem. Why are you telling me this? What do I have to do with the problem? I'm not the groom. I'm not the father of the groom. I'm not in charge of this wedding feast. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Not my problem. And then he says to her, and you need to get this, he said, mine hour is not yet come. Now, I want to point out to those of you that may not know it, that he was God manifest in the flesh. That Paul said all things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. John the Revelator said he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Anybody here? The apostle said that all the fullness of the Godhead was bodily in him. He declared the end from the beginning. He's the one that created all things. He held the prophetical time clock of events in the palm of his hand. And that great God of glory manifest in the flesh said, mine hour is not yet come. Woman, if you're thinking that I'm going to do a miracle, this isn't the time or the place that it was determined that my ministry would begin. Mine hour is not yet come. Now Mary, his mama, did what probably only a mama could do and get away with. Come on out here front row. Y'all be the servants. She got, you like that, don't you, Carla? All the servants are standing there. Jesus just said, woman, it's not my problem. And if you're thinking I'm going to do a miracle, this isn't the time or place. Mary turned her back on Jesus. Read all four Gospels. She never responded. There's no conversation. She didn't plead. She didn't beg. She didn't say, I'm your mama. She turned her back on Jesus. She looked at the servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And she walked off and left them standing there looking in the face of Jesus. I'm thinking they're grinning just like these guys are grinning right now. Mama just said, whatever he says, do it. She's down the hall, round the corner, and out of sight. What'd she do? Leaving it with him. Come out here, Pastor Zuniga. You be Jesus. She just said, You just told Mary, the mother of Jesus, your mama, you just told her, it's not my problem. It's not my responsibility. And if you're thinking I'm going to do a miracle, this isn't the time and this isn't the place. And she tells the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. She takes her faith and puts it in his hand. And she walks off and leaves him holding her faith. She leaves him holding her faith. She leaves him with her faith. Now there's something you got to know about God. God can't ignore our faith. God can't turn his back on our faith. God can't lay our faith down. God can't act like we don't have faith. Nothing moves God like faith does. And God manifest in flesh that just said, I'm not going to do it. It's not my problem. This isn't my time. This isn't the place. She's got to deal with her faith now. She left it in his hand. She approached him expecting to receive. She told him exactly what the problem is. And then she went and took her faith and she put it in his hands and said, whatever he says to do, you do it. I'm leaving it with you. And there she goes. And the great God of glory turns to the servants. And he said, fellas, when I come in, over by the door are six water pots of stone, each holding two or three firkins of water apiece. And the Bible said they're there after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Get ready for a new twist on an old story. It was foot washing water. That makes the story a little different, don't it? Go back and read your Old Testament about the pots of water that were by the door, and every guest that came in, the lowest of all servants, would dip water out of those pots and would wash their feet. And Jesus, the scripture said, they were there after the manner of the purification of the Jews. And he said, go take some dippers full of water out of that foot washing water, and I want you to carry it to the governor of the feast. And the Bible said, when the governor of the feast tasted the water that was turned, that was changed into wine, the Bible said, you think God don't have a sense of humor? The Bible said, he didn't know where the water came from. But in brackets in your Bible, it said, but the servants knew. Servants knew where it came from. He tasted that foot washing water turned into wine. And the Bible said most men serve the best wine first, and when men have well drunk, they bring out worse. But he said, you've saved the very best wine for the last. Here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. If the God of glory can turn foot washing water into the best wine the governor's ever tasted, what do you think he can do with the old nasty situation you're fighting with tonight? The problems going on in your life, the troubles and the trials you're going through. I'm telling you, the master of change is in the house. Oh! Everybody stand with me. I've preached longer than I wanted to, but it's your fault. Y'all just fun to preach to. I don't know hardly anybody here. And so because of that, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who's in a marriage mess and who's not. I don't know who just got bad news from the doctor. I don't know who's living under a cloud of depression. I don't know who don't have enough money to pay their bills, maybe fixing to lose a car or a house or something. I don't know who has the Holy Ghost here and who don't. But this is what I do know. I know that the master of change is in the house. And I know, Pastor, he never leaves anybody or anything like he finds it. Here's what I want to do. How many of you is willing to help me tonight? If you are, wave your hand at me. I need 100% participation. You going to help me tonight? I want you to turn to the person on your right, and then after that to the person on the left. And I want you to ask them, now put a big smile on your face before you do. I want you to look at them smiling from ear to ear, and I want you to ask them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues? Ask the person on both sides of you. Both sides of you. Now, let's make sure nobody's left out. Peck on the shoulder of the person in front of you. Ask them the same question. Then turn all the way around. Ask the person behind you the same question. Let's make sure that all four people around us are asked the same thing. Now, stay with me. You just asked somebody, have you received the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues? And the little grin came on their face, and they say, yeah. And they're telling the truth. Right after Noah got off the ark, they got the Holy Ghost. But it's been weeks, months, years since they've spoken in tongues. I want you to turn to the same four people you've already spoken to, and this time ask them, do you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost tonight? Would you do that? Same four people. No music. Okay, stay with me. One more thing, and then I'll leave you alone. Turn to the same four people and ask them, do you need a miracle tonight? Same four people. Ask all four people around you, same question. Do you need a miracle tonight? Okay, come on back. Now listen carefully. You said you'd help me, and here's where I need your help. If you ask somebody, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? And they said, do you know I have not? Or you ask them, do you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost? And they said, yes, I do. Without hesitation, I want you to reach out and take that person by the hand, and I want you to say, Brother Cunningham wants me to bring you down front. God's going to give you a miracle tonight. Would you do that? Just reach. They're not going to feel bad at you. They hear what I'm saying. Just reach out and take them by the hand. Say, come on. Brother Cunningham wants me to bring you down front. God's going to give you a miracle tonight. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just everybody gather in. Everybody gather in. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now, if you're standing there and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and nobody asked you and nobody's invited you to come, I'm inviting you. Would you step out of where you are and come be my guest? Would you do that, please? If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, come on down here. God's got a miracle for you. Praise God. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now, all of you that said you need a miracle tonight, if you leave, you're going to miss it. Because after we've prayed with people to receive the Holy Ghost, I'm going to pray for every person here that needs a miracle. If it takes me past midnight, I promise you I will not leave until we have prayed for every person that needs a miracle. But I'm going to pray for people that need the Holy Ghost first. If that's okay, clap your hands. All of you folks here, would you move over toward that wall? There's people in the aisles. I want them to all have room to get up here in the altar area. You folks crowd in here a little closer, if you will. There you go. Hallelujah. There you go. Come on, folks. Those of you in the aisle, come and join us. Praise God. Now, if you brought somebody up to the altar, listen to me. I'm talking to everybody in the altar now. If you brought somebody up to the altar, I want you to move so that you're literally right in front of them, face to face, where you're standing in front of the person you brought to the altar. Brother Burton, jump up here real quick. Stand right here. Look at Brother Burton and I. I want you right in front of them, just like I am. Okay? If you brought somebody, not beside them, not behind them, I want you right straight in front of them, because I'm going to make altar workers out of all of you tonight. Now listen to me, folks. Everybody give me your full, undivided attention. Everybody, nobody but me talking. Nobody but me talking. Everybody listen to what I'm saying. I cannot give you the Holy Ghost. It's not mine to give. But I can give you some instructions that will help you to get the Holy Ghost, that'll make it easy for you to get the Holy Ghost. Number one, you have to want the Holy Ghost. You have to desire the Holy Ghost. I got good news for you. If you don't want it, don't worry about it. You're not going to get it. You have to want it. Now, Brother Smith, I'm going to believe that all of these people walked up here because they desire a miracle from God. So I believe the desire factor is taken care of. Number two, you have to have faith that God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost and that He's going to do it tonight. Everybody said tonight. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God's going to do it tonight. So will of God for you to get it tonight. I told a woman one time, it's will of God for you to get the Holy Ghost. She said, how could you possibly know that? I said, because the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's a will of God for you to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Let me tell you how much faith I got. I've got so much faith that in about the next 5 minutes, a whole slew of you here are going to be speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. Number three, because of your faith, when I tell you it's time to worship, I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands, and let your voice out loud and worship God from the bottom of your heart. Why is worship so important? The Bible said God inhabits the praises of His people. The Bible says draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. And the way we draw nigh unto Him is in our worship. What's the highest praise we can give God, church? What's the highest praise we can give Him? Say it again. Say it again. When I tell you it's time to pray, if you don't know King James English and you don't know how to pray some sophisticated prayer, don't worry about it. Close your eyes, raise your hands, and start hollering hallelujah, because every time you say hallelujah, you're saying praise Jehovah. You are more specifically saying, God, after considering everything there is to consider in this universe, I consider you to be the greatest of all the universe. Every time you say hallelujah, it's the highest praise you can give Him. Number four, keep your mind on the miracle. Don't let your mind wander. Forget about who's around you. Forget about where you're supposed to go tonight. Forget about school or work or whatever tomorrow. Get your mind on what God is doing for you right here, right now. And number five, and we're fixing to pray. Number five, when you feel the Holy Ghost come upon you, and I promise you, you will. Some of you already are. This fellow over here, man, God's already touching that whole group right there. When you feel the Holy Ghost come upon you, you quit speaking English or whatever language you know. You quit speaking a known language. Open up your mouth. Let your tongue go. Let your voice out loud. And let God begin to speak through you as the Spirit gives utterance. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? God's fixing to do a miracle.
Well, I know I say that a lot, but man, that was an awesome message. God is good, and He is still alive. Blog Talk Mom?
I'm telling you, Sister Starlet.
Wow.
Awesome. I mean, that was, I just got up and just started walking back and forth in the living room here. It was mighty. That is, thank you so much, you and Wild Bill, for letting us hear this. Because I don't get to go a lot of places, you know, conferences or anything, and I really appreciate what God spoke to me through this message. It was, wonderful.
I wish I could have been there. That was just amazing.
And it was beautiful, the song that you played at the very beginning. Brother Smart has made an influence on literally everyone that he's ever known. He was remarkable, beautiful singer, and always in any service he was so supportive. And at BB he would work at the beginning of the service, I believe, and just praising, you know, moving people into praise. Just a wonderful person. And the church there they were going to miss him so much. Someone had said that Sister Belen, that I think it was Sister Holland, said that as he was lying there in the hospital, that Sister Belen, which they usually sang together at church, because Sister Belen would be playing the music, but she began to sing with him, and he smiled, just a really, just a beautiful smile, and then he died. It was just like God was just so powerful right there. The death, you know, when nothing that happens to a child of God is not beautiful, because God just makes it beautiful. And this message, all about the different kinds of faith. I'm supposed to speak tomorrow night, so I may have to add some of this to my notes, because it's so good. It's really great.
I never knew Jesus used foot washing water. I never had heard that before. That is amazing.
I had never heard that. But it makes sense, because the water that would have been put there would, because they were real careful to everyone that came in, would have their, and I probably will mention that the next time we have foot washing service, because it's, that's amazing. He brought out several points that I don't think in all the years of ministry and studying and going to church that I've ever heard before. He was excellent. And I love this style. Being the teacher and the type of mind I have, I like things in a format like that. Very anointed, but yet still step one, step two, step three. That was very, very good. Because people don't really know. We assume that they will know, but he stopped any opportunity for confusion in their mind and when mm-hmm. they came forward. Was excellent.
That was awesome.
It was. Altar workers would be a good class to have and let them think like that. We had a gentleman come to our church one time that had everybody come up, and it was like step by step by step, and it was awesome. It was a real move of God. Also, for you and for Wild Bill and for those that would be listening, we have a brother in our church who we love dearly, and he's very, very ill, and he's in the hospital. And I'm believing that God's going to touch him and give him an absolute miracle. And I would like for everybody to join and pray. He'll have a test in the morning. I'd like for him to say he didn't even need the test. Come
Amen.
Right on. That wonderful about that testimony that 150 of them stood at their feet at one time out of the wheelchairs or whatever. People, that's amazing.
Yes, it is. Really, totally amazing. It was. It was just so good. We have Wild Bill with us. Wild Bill?
Well, I don't know how well y'all can hear me. I'm up in the mountains of North Carolina, and my signal's been coming in and out. But there's so many things about that message tonight that, you know, like I was saying at the beginning, or sort of did in the intro, those 5 points, you don't have to be limited to having heard this live. You don't have to be limited by being there. Right now where you are, if you're hearing this a week from the time that this broadcast online, God can do and wants to do the same thing for you as what he did for the people that were there. We cut off the altar service, but I'm telling you that there was people in the groves that got the Holy Ghost because they were going through and praying for each one. And it was just such a powerful move of God that was there. And going back to Brother Bonnie Smart, just the things we take for granted, vision. He was already having problems with his eyes when I first met him. And to have the physician telling him that he was going to go blind. You know, that would scare me to death. That would make me question what God was doing. That would make me wonder if maybe what I was doing was maybe wrong. It was, you know, Satan is an accuser. He's quick to come in and want to put confusion in anything that's going on. But yet to write a song and saying, my faith is in the Lord. He knows what's best for me. You talk about faith, to know that God is in control and to take something and leave it there and know that he's going to change the situation for our good, even though we don't understand what it is. And that young man, of course, it seems funny, I guess, he was probably in his 60s when he passed away. But the stand he took then established something in his life that had an anointing that never left. And all these names of preachers that were mentioned, there was something established in those men's lives a long time ago. And the heritage that went down to this young man that was preaching this message, to know that God doesn't leave anybody where he found them, and that he wants us to trust him and believe in him. And I wonder how many times have I prayed for something, and then I didn't see an immediate response. But I received it in my heart and in my mind at the beginning, and I put it in my cup. But when I didn't see it immediately, I poured it out. I didn't hang on to it. I didn't really stand on what it was. And then, guess what? Because I didn't keep believing in it, I didn't stand on it, I didn't have any sort of expectancy of anything, it didn't happen. And if we start having those eyes of faith, like he was talking about there, all of us, I don't care what denominational church you go to, I just want you to go to church. I want you to hear about the love of God and the great things that he did and the good news about he died that we could have life more abundant than what we're having without him. To know that he went to create a place for us that where he is, that we can be also. And if it wasn't true, he wanted us to know that he'd have told us. He'll let us know. Because I believe with all my heart that if someone is sincere and they're following after God and not following after man, that God will lead them into all truth, that he will lead them into all knowledge of what he wants to do with relationship in their lives. And you may be like me, you may be in your 50s and had a lot of things in your life that you regret and you didn't follow after the things of God. It does not matter. God is faithful. He's just. He loves us all with a love that's beyond our understanding. And he wants to do more for you than you want him to do for you. And if you can just get your mind wrapped around that, I love that where we went in Father's Day, but you know, our parents want to do things for us good. But how much more does our Heavenly Father want to do for us? And look what he has to work with. He can do it all. If he can speak the world into existence, take dirt that he created and form it into man and breathe into it a living soul, what limitations does he have? And the answer is none. So, and Block Top Mom, I thank you so much for that same thing I'm talking about when you were seeking after God. We weren't always in a church that believed in some of the things of Pentecost and the things of relationship and holiness and walking after God with a consecration. And, you know, how you moved out and moved. Because if we hadn't been at that church in BB, I would have never met Brother Ronnie Snard. I heard Brother Johnny Shield preaching the message that he preached as a young pastor starting out in that work that was there. I would not have witnessed the miracles of seeing people come in that were demon-possessed, of seeing God release those people, seeing people that had affliction in their life and they were healed, seeing things to where I actually saw the Shekinah glory of God in a building where there was a shimmer because of the type of worship that was in, where people, maybe not the most educated, but they understood praise. A lot of them may have been just more emotion than depth, but they still understood praise. And God honored it from every depth to every level, every top person that was there, to where I saw things that I would have never seen. So I want to thank you for having that open heart, because we have family in another denominational faith that we could have stayed and followed after family. And a lot of people do that. They go someplace where they got relatives that are involved in the church. And we were in a church where my uncle was the pastor and had been there for years and years. Actually, it was my mother's uncle. And, you know, but we could have stayed there. Well, most of our family background was involved in that church. But when you change it from relationship with church to relationship with God, he will lead you into all that he wants you to have, and into more than you could ever think or ask. So Carl, I just wanted to share that and turn it back with you. And thank everyone for listening. I tell you what, I do want to do something a little different tonight. I'm involved with a Young Work in a little town called Nolensville, Tennessee. As far as I know, in that city limit, there has never been a church that preaches all truth of God's gospel as there is right there. And I want to ask for everyone that listens to pray for a prayer covering over our little church. We don't have a lot of people there, but I know there's power of unity of people binding together. We're starting a building fund. If anybody feels to send $1, $2, $10, there's enough people to listen to this show that if everybody just gave $10, it could be just a huge blessing and a jump start for this. And because it's a church, it's tax deductible. So you got an initial blessing there. But I really believe, and I don't usually share things like this, we don't ask for any money with this radio show, but if Solo would give the address and you just put on there for the building fund and you send it there, I promise you, you can't outgive God and you're going to get a blessing. But more than the financial support, I want to ask everybody that listens that believes in God to add the sanctuary of Nolensville to your prayer life and put a prayer covering over this work, because the devil's army is deep-rooted. They got fortifications that have been built that don't want to come down. He's angry at some of the things that are happening there. And this little army, we need a prayer covering to go out there and stop this enemy and tear down those fortifications, because it doesn't matter how much money is in the city of Nolensville. I know from my past in law enforcement, there's people that are hurting. I've seen firsthand where the wealthiest people sometimes, because their gods are set up on things of finance, when something goes wrong financially, they commit suicide because they don't know where to go. I've seen these people got drug addictions, alcohol addictions, because the stress of trying to maintain being top dog to hold that financial situation. The devil is no respecter of person. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy from everybody. It doesn't matter where you are. He wants to accuse you that you're not real. He wants to step on your head and smother you and suffocate you and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And I'm telling you, I know you're probably involved in something big in your church, but if you want to be a blessing, I want to ask you to please take part in helping us with this. So, Carl, if you'll give the address for the church, I really appreciate that.
Well, you have to give me a few minutes to find the address. So, Blog Talk Mom, can you, do you have anything you want to share while I'm looking?
I do. I appreciate what Wildville said while you get the address, because we can sow a seed into that work there. And then that's the way God wants us to do. And it's possible to take just whatever amount God lays on our heart. And I'm going to definitely, I'll have a check by the grace of God. I'll have a check in the mail in the morning. It would be a great, great privilege to see that church grow. And it will grow. Because like Wild Bill was saying, the best work are not carnal. They're spiritual. To the down the stronghold. So that, we've already seen the move of God. Wild Bill had already been feeling to send an offering. So I believe you're right on target to do that. Also probably go to Facebook to get
can go to Facebook at the Sanctuary of Nolensville, or you can just send it to the Sanctuary of Nolensville in Nolensville, Tennessee. I don't know what I've done with my business card.
Understand. I can lay something down. Gone forever, it seems like. But they can go to your place on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And all the information would be very good.
Should we not find it tonight, we'll put it on the air next week for you, or you can just go ahead and send it to the Sanctuary of Nolensville, in Nolensville, Tennessee.
Or to your address, if they could do that in care of the church or whatever they would want to do. But that would be good. Everybody will give you time to pull out your checkbook.
It would be a great help, this ministry.
And it will be a blessing. Just like, you know, whatever you sow, there's the reaping and the sowing that God put in place. And I've never, ever not, God's given me back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over has God brought to me when I would give into somebody else's ministry. It's a beautiful way to, I mean, you don't do it for that reason, but it works anyway. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you all, Bill. That really confirms what I was feeling.
Well, no luck tonight. Anyway, well, did you have anything more you wanted to share with us, Blog Talk Mom?
Again, I want to thank everyone for praying in advance for Brother Tim. He is a wonderful worshiper and a wonderful man of God, has a tremendous testimony. And he's facing some tests and things that are very serious. And I just want everybody to join with us, and we're going to believe that God is going to give him a testimony and a great miracle. If he can turn, God can turn water to wine, he can certainly take a negative situation and make it beautiful. And I'm believing it. I appreciate everybody joining with us and believing it also.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and God bless you, and we'll see you back here again next week at your place. Good night.